That's where the great victories are won, is on our knees. Thank you for leading us in prayer. Well, Phil Staples was a man who is described as being one cheeseburger away from a heart attack. He was working as a truck driver, lived on greasy fast food, lived a sedentary lifestyle, didn't get much exercise, and as a result, he was at 425 pounds morbidly overweight. Not only was he physically unhealthy, his thinking was also unhealthy. He not only felt bad because of his weight issues, he was borderline depressed. He didn't think that he was cared for by anyone. He didn't think that he really mattered much to society, and really, people didn't really care about him. But just then, when he was at this place in his life, he was at a truck stop in Arizona, and he met a guy at this truck stop who could relate to him. He also had a weight problem, but he was doing something about it. He knew that he needed to change his lifestyle, to change his diet, to change really just about everything about his life in order to live a healthy life. And so in order to start this change, this gentleman began juicing. He began doing this vegetable fruit juice thing and starting a fast. So he began to talk to Phil about the amazing results that he'd been experiencing on this juice fast. He encouraged Phil, and he told him, hey, if you ever want to give it a try, if you want to see a change in your life, health-wise, in your lifestyle, and you need somebody to give you some help, let me know, and I'll help him. So he left him with his business card. He began to think about this, and he began to see that, man, somebody really cares for me. I think at this point in Phil's life, he didn't really care about doing what he knew to be right to improve his health, but he saw that someone really cared for him and cared enough to reach out, and so he decided to accept this guy's offer. So with the support of his new friend and with proper medical attention and supervision, Phil started a juice fast and began walking and swimming, began this mild form regimen of exercise. At first, it was really hard because junk food and his sedentary life really had a hold on him. I mean, not only did he like the taste of junk food, as we all often do, but for him, the junk food made him feel like he was special. It made him feel like he was cared for. But he knew that he wanted to be healthier. He knew that he was going to die if he kept living the way he was living. And so he kept on with his commitment to give this a try. See if we can get this up on the screen. I got a picture of this guy. Okay, here we go. All right, so the picture on the left is Phil Staples, day one, when he meets this friend in the truck stop. He's weighing 429 pounds. After 30 days of this juice fast and exercise, I'm not promoting juice fasting, by the way, I'm just saying this is what he did. He loses 61 pounds after 30 days. His blood pressure significantly drops. It went from dangerously high to normal. The doctor said that he could actually cut back on the medications that he was on. And better than all of those things, really, in my opinion, is that his sense of self-worth just skyrocketed. He started to feel way better about himself, and he began to be a whole lot happier. After 10 months, Phil had lost 200 pounds. And this is the same guy. It's an unbelievable story, how this man experienced a total life change. It was total change in his physical fitness. He went from being morbidly obese to now he's, in this picture here, he's exercising, he's eating well, he's feeling so much better about himself. It's a total change in this guy's life. He began to experience this change. I know that he would not have changed like this had he just said, hey, I should probably do something about this problem. Because a lot of people say, hey, I should probably be more healthy. I should probably make some changes to my life. Phil Staples experienced a total transformation because he was not only willing to do the work, but more importantly, he never would have done this without the help and support of a friend. He had the support of somebody else who showed him that he cared, who reminded him of his value as a person. And because of that, he said, hey, I'm going to give it a try. And 200 pounds later, here he is. He helped him, his friend helped him see his value. Well, today we're starting a series on health called 50 Days to Fitness. If you missed it, the posters are up. I'm excited about this health series. Because we're going to be talking about some really practical things. I mean, the idea is that each one of us, each one of you, in the next 50 days will be working towards a goal, a health goal, that will bring a greater health to your life. It's going to help you feel better. It's going to improve the quality of your life. And so during the church services for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be giving you really important teachings. Thank you, Barbara, for that great insight on health that you gave us during the special feature time. And for the special features for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be giving you some practical teachings on how you can live a healthier life. And then during the sermon time, we're going to be talking about Bible principles that will be an encouragement to you to help you follow these goals, or this one particular goal that I believe God is leading each one of us to make. Now, we're all at different places in our life when it comes to physical fitness. What I'm talking about is that I want to encourage each one of us, and I'm including myself in that, to say, what is the next step to improve my physical fitness, to improve my overall total fitness? And for some of you, you may be doing great in your diet. You may need to work on something else. Maybe you need to work on exercise. Or maybe your relationships might be needing a little bit of attention. They might not be as healthy as they need to be. So we're talking about total fitness, whether it's your spiritual life, your relational life, your relationships, your health in terms of diet, or maybe in terms of physical fitness. I want to encourage each one of you to set a goal. I'm going to give you a chance to do that here in a little bit. And we want to work together. We want to give you the tools that you need to be able to reach your goal. Regardless of who you are, we all can improve in our area of overall fitness. But before we can live a healthy life, before we can live healthy, we need to be able to think healthy. The title of the message this morning is Know Your Worth. Know Your Worth. Before we get into it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we invite you to come. Send your Spirit to speak truth to us. We believe so many lies. I pray that you would send your Spirit to tell us just how much we are worth. Speak to us from your word and inspire us, Lord, to make the changes that we need to make to experience the quality of life that you intend for us to have and that we can live truly healthy lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I'd like to invite you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you need to use it, there's a pew Bible in front of you. If you didn't bring a Bible this morning, go ahead and grab that and turn to page 1102. Page 1102, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 19 and 20. In Bible times, in the time in which the Apostle Paul, who wrote the letter to the Corinthians, this letter in 1 Corinthians, during this time, there was a popular way of thinking that was really, really unhealthy. Many people believed that there was a disconnect between the mind and the body. In other words, as long as you fill your mind with a bunch of good things, it doesn't really matter how you live. And they saw that the mind was made for good things. If they filled it with good knowledge, then it was capable of that. But they looked at the body as something that was very corrupt. In fact, it was so corrupt that it was pointless to restrain any unhealthy cravings they might have. So, here was the philosophy that was popular during that day. If it felt good, do it. If it felt good, do it. That was a popular way of thinking back then. It's actually a popular way of thinking today, too. Unfortunately, people can have an appetite for some pretty sick things. In the first century in Corinth, that's exactly what was taking place. There was all kinds of terrible things that were taking place in society as a result of this way of thinking, that the body is corrupt, it's hopelessly corrupt, there's nothing we can do to change it, so why restrain any of my carnal cravings? So prostitution was acceptable, kinds of abuses that were taking place, and their health was suffering. They had no concept of their value. At least they were living that way. And as a result, they were hurting themselves and they were hurting others. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, God shows them and us just how much you and I are worth. He shows us our value. With the intent of showing us our value, we will be able to experience greater health. We'll be able to think in a healthy way. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. He says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Look who inhabits you. The very Spirit of God, the presence of God, wants to inhabit you. What does that say about you?" That's pretty important. Your body is the temple, the residing place, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have of God, and you are not your own. Now notice what he says in verse 20. He says, "For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify or honor God in your body." Some versions go on to say, "in your spirit as well, which are God's." You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God in the way you live. When the Bible says that you were bought, think about that word for a second. You were bought. This is really not a flattering picture for the Bible to say that you and I were bought. Because anyone who has a price tag on them and is standing up on the auction block for purchase is somebody who's not in a good place in life. A person who has a price tag on them, who is standing on the auction block to be purchased, is a person who is a slave. This is a person without freedoms. This is a person who is not in control of their life. He's describing a slave, and he's doing it very intentionally. He's using slave language to describe you and I, because fact is, the reality is, you and I are slaves to our unhealthy appetites. That's our reality. Just think back to the last time. This is January 3, right? So this might not be very long ago. Think back to the last time you resolved to do something healthy. You made this resolution. You said, "This is going to be it's going to improve my life. It's going to improve the quality of my life. It's going to give me more years to life." Think back to the last time that you made a decision to do something healthy in your life, but you failed. You didn't follow through. Why was that? I mean, maybe it was a change in your diet. Maybe it was a new exercise program. Maybe it was a plan to improve your health, the health of your family, the health of your marriage. You're going to spend more time in prayer with your spouse. Maybe it was something like that. You knew that it would be good for you and that you had the power to choose to do it. But instead of following through on this good choice, this good plan, you chose to do something that was unhealthy. Something that quite very possibly would end your life sooner than had you not done that. Something that would rob you of quality years of life even. You made that choice to do what was unhealthy. I mean, that sounds kind of insane, right? You think about that. I could choose to do something healthy, but instead, I'm going to choose to do something that will end my life sooner. Would you consider that healthy thinking? All of us are slaves to that kind of healthy thinking. We struggle to make healthy choices because we are slaves to unhealthy habits. That's just our reality. That's why when the new year comes around, those of you go to a gym. I don't know how many of you here, how many of you belong to a gym here? Okay, oh, there's quite a few. Okay, good, good. All right, so if you belong to a gym for a while, you've noticed this taking place. If you go to the gym, January, February, maybe even March, the place is packed. There's all kinds of people in there. They got their brand new workouts, you know, clothes on that they got for Christmas, and they're making good on their New Year's resolutions. They're in there and they're going for it. And many people, you know about this, Sarge, many people will be in there and they're sweating it up. And they're working through it and they're hurting, they're going through all this and they're going for it. But so many of them, March, April, May, they're still paying their gym dues. Because they know it is a good idea for them to get in and work out. And they haven't changed their opinion about that. They know that exercise is important. They haven't changed their mind on that. But they've stopped following through. They've stopped doing the thing that's going to give them health, that's going to improve the quality of their life. They could make a healthy choice. Something keeps holding them back. You and I can make healthy choices, but something holds us back. We are slaves. That's why. That's why we have so many people in the hospital. That's why we have so many people who have high blood pressure, weight problems, all these different things, issues with health. That's why we have these problems, is because we are slaves. But praise God, God has bought us back. He says that you have been bought with a price. A transaction has taken place. He didn't just say, oh, they're slaves, they're on the auction blocks. Too bad for them. No, he bought us back. And in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, God tells us what he paid for us. He says that he did not redeem us with gold or silver. In other words, God did not go to his bank account and pull out these precious things that he could easily replace. He did not redeem us with gold or silver, perishable things, the Bible says. Instead, he redeemed us with the precious blood of Jesus. He redeemed us. He bought us with something that could not be replaced, something that was priceless. He gave the precious blood of Jesus for you and I. In the law of Moses, the Jewish people were strictly forbidden to eat blood, to consume blood. It's not that they would pour it into a glass and drink it, I'm not saying that, but they were forbidden to eat meat that still had the blood in it. They were strictly forbidden to do that. They were told that they needed to carefully drain it out or to boil it, because if they were to eat the blood, it was a big offense. The Bible says that the life is in the blood. So when he says that they were redeemed, that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, he's making a very Jewish statement, a statement that the Jews could really connect with. It wasn't just like, oh man, he spilled his blood for us. Yes, he did. But there was something even more to that than Jesus' death on the cross for us. It meant when he gave his precious blood for us, when he purchased us with that, it meant that he gave us his life. With the precious life of Jesus, you have been bought. Jesus gave his life for you. So the question is, how valuable is Jesus? And if we answer that question, we'll know how valuable we are, right? Do you follow that? How valuable is Jesus' life? Well, in John chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible tells us that all things came into being through Jesus. He was the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. All things came into being through him. Jesus made all of the natural resources that are in our world today. He made all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious stones came. They had their origin in Jesus. All of humanity, the people, the world who were created with this amazing capacity to think and to do, all of that came from Jesus. Our families came as a result of Jesus' creative power. Our friends are a result of Jesus. Everything came from, every good thing came from Jesus. And he did it all in just a week worth of work. It's pretty amazing. This is the life. This life that put into being everything that has value. This is the life that was given for you. That was given in place of your life. Think of it this way. If everyone in the world today were to pool all of their resources, if they emptied their bank account, they sold their land, they got all of the treasures, everything that they owned that had value, if everyone pooled it all together and they gave it to you for Christmas, that'd be a huge gift, right? All the wealth in the world, all of a sudden, it's given to you. In comparison to what Jesus did for you, that gift would be cheap. So when the Bible says that we are bought with a price, it's really saying something. You are worth something. You are bought with the precious life of Jesus. Your worth does not come from how talented you are. Oftentimes, if I do something and it turns out bad, I kind of feel bad about myself. Like, oh man, I really messed that up. And I feel like maybe my worth has gone down a little bit. Your value does not come from what you look like or who your parents are or how much money you have in your bank account, whatever it might be. Your value does not come from these things. Value has been determined by Jesus. There's nothing on this earth that can take that value away. It's a powerful teaching. The things that we spend our money on reveal the things that we value. And God is telling us in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that he broke the bank to buy you back. Now, when we make a significant purchase, how do we do it? Don't we carefully consider the thing that we're about to purchase? I mean, suppose that you were going to buy an automobile. How would you go about doing it? I'm guessing that you would probably do some research, right? You get online and you check the value of the car, or you'd go on Consumer Reports and see how good it is. You'd do a thorough research, and after you did that, you'd go out and you'd look for that car. You'd want to walk around it. You want to make a careful inspection of what this car is about. You'd probably kick the tire. You'd open the hood. You'd look inside of it. You'd make sure that it's everything that you hope it would be. And before you're buying that car, I'm pretty sure that you're going to get in that car. You're going to sit in it, see how it feels. You're going to smell the leather. You're going to experience the power. You're going to want to put the accelerator down and take it for a spin around the block. You're going to want to experience this. You want to do a careful research. You want to carefully consider this purchase before you spend your money. You want to make sure that your purchase is worth it, right? In the same way, God carefully considered you. He didn't just give Jesus not haphazardly, not knowing what we were all about. God looks down from heaven and he sees you. He sees your personality. He sees your talents. He sees the things that you like and the things that you don't like. He knows your strengths, he knows your victories, but he also knows your failures. He knows the unhealthy habits that you are so prone to. He sees those times when you knew you should have made a healthy choice, but you deliberately chose not to just because it felt good. He knows your darkest secrets, and he looks at you, and he considers you worth the life, the precious life of his son. He knows exactly who I am. He knows exactly who you are. And he says, you are this valuable to me that I would empty the treasures of heaven to purchase you. You're worth something. This means, because God has given the life of Jesus to us, to humanity, and to each one of us individually. This means that we are no longer like slaves with a price tag on us. Because the priceless life of Jesus was given to us, we also are now free because we also are priceless. And if you believe this fact, this will profoundly affect the choices you make that pertain to your health. There's a real practical, direct correlation between our belief of God's love for us and the choices that we make in regards to our health. If you believe that you have value, you will be inspired to make healthy choices because we take care of the things that we value. We take care of the things that we value. In 2005, Suzuki came out with a sport bike, a motorcycle, that was the fastest stock vehicle on the road. This motorcycle was. Like every other vehicle that was produced, cars or motorcycles, nothing could beat it, like 0 to 100 miles an hour stock, I'm talking about. You can soup it up and do all kinds of crazy things to a car to beat these bikes, but they came out with this fast bike. At the time, I was driving a green Toyota Corolla that was made in 1995. And I loved the gas mileage that I got, but I was really itching for some more power. I was a single guy out of school and all this stuff. So I made some sacrifices, and I bought this bike. I'd owned motorcycles before, and so I was like, yeah, this is great. So I bought this bike. From day one, from the first day that I purchased this motorcycle, I took immaculate care of this bike. Now, my car might have needed an oil change, and maybe the tires were going bald, and it hadn't been washed in a month, but nothing got my bike dirty. Or it didn't stay dirty if it got dirty. I was constantly hovering over this bike. If there was even one bug on the windshield, I was on it. I was using some special cleaner to make sure it was all clean and ready to go. I would change the oil long before it needed to be changed, just because. I put the best gas that I could find in this bike. Often I would wax this bike, even when it didn't really need it. I was just like, yeah, I'm just going to wax it a little bit. I parked the motorcycle in my garage, and even though it was garaged, I would cover it. No one had to ask if I valued my motorcycle. It was obvious because I cared for my motorcycle. It was obvious. You see, we care for the things that we value. The things that we have deep value for are the things that we care for. Paul's point in 1 Corinthians 6 is that if we value Jesus, if we accept the fact that we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, then glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. That belongs to God. This, your mind, your body, that belongs to Him. And He looked upon you and said, this is of infinite value. It is worth the life of my Son. I will give the precious blood of Jesus for you. And if we value that, if we accept that, if we really accept that, then we also have infinite value. And we will therefore care for our bodies. We will be careful about our health choices. He says, you were bought with a price. So honor God with your body. Now, some of you might be saying, I know Jesus values me, and I've accepted Him, but making healthy choices is hard. How does this work? I mean, yeah, I believe that Jesus loves me and that He gave everything for me, but it's tough. I mean, we just went through the holidays, right? It's tough. Say no to the things that we really like that aren't so healthy for us. And the reality is that all of us struggle healthy choices, and we always will, but these healthy choices are especially difficult when you and I are anxious, when you and I are stressed out. It's tough to make healthy choices when you feel alone, or you feel empty, or you're dealing with depression. It's easy to go back home and maybe eat something that we shouldn't, or do some kind of activity that wouldn't be healthy for us. But there's something that you and I can do that will significantly increase our chances of making healthy choices. You remember Phil Staples, the guy that I put up on the screen? For 3 years, he was able to follow through with his healthy choices, with his plan to live a healthy life, exercise, eating right, eating lots of plants, putting a lot of plant foods in his diet. And he was doing really well. But after 3 years, he went through a really difficult time. His marriage went bad. He went through a really disappointing divorce. And he started to isolate himself. He was no longer calling his friends saying, hey, yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I drank some juice today. Or yeah, I worked out today. Or yeah, I made a choice to say no to some unhealthy food. I drove past Wendy's and I didn't stop, or whatever it might be. He left his support system. He began to isolate himself. He got away from the friends that were a good influence in his life, the support of this guy who originally got him going on living a healthier life. And little by little, he began, as he isolated himself from his support system, he began to return to junk food. And he says that the people at Wendy's knew him by name. To these fast food places, and he just started to eat himself, and eat, and to bring himself to the place where he was before. He gained back all of that weight that he had lost. And he did it because he left his support system. Honoring God with our bodies requires the support of others. This is not something that we do on our own, by ourselves. Especially when we go through hard times, and you and I can bank that there will be stressful times. There will be times when we're anxious. There will be times when we feel lonely. There will be times when maybe we'll deal with depression. That's going to happen in the future. And if you and I are not in some kind of a support system, we're not going to follow through on our healthy choices. Whether that's diet or whether it's exercise or maybe healthy choices in your relationship, whatever it might be, healthy choices in your relationship with God. In closing, I'd like you to do something about it. I want for you to pull out this yellow piece of paper that you found in your bulletin. By the way, if anyone does not have this yellow piece of paper, we have some deacons that have some extras back there. Just anyone did not get one, just raise your hand, and our deacons will get you one. Anybody not get it? It says your finish line on one side, okay? And then on the other side, it's a pick a goal. I see some hands back there. So this is what it says. 50 days to fitness. This is the goal. I want to encourage each one of you to pick a goal, okay? And I give you some samples there. Maybe it's a relationship goal to spend 1 hour each day in quality family time. What a powerful goal. Quality family time, 1 hour each day. Maybe it's just having meals together. Maybe it's having worship together. Maybe it's going to the park or something like that together. If that's where you sense God leading you here, if that's the next step for you in physical, in total fitness, I should say, then just check that box. And I just want you to choose one of them, okay? We're just going to focus on one thing here. Another option here is to cut something negative out of your diet, all right? Maybe you want to abstain from caffeine or red meat or processed sugar or there's something else that's really bringing your health down that you need to cut out of your diet. Go ahead and write that in there if that's what the goal that you'd like to make. Maybe you have a weight goal. Maybe you want to lose a certain amount of weight in the next 50 days. Now, let me just do a little aside here. What I want to encourage you to do is to pick goals prayerfully now. We've asked God to be here with us. And so His Spirit is present to guide you and to encourage you to pick a goal that is going to make your life healthier and that's going to improve the quality of your life. But I want to encourage you also to not pick a goal that is not attainable. It should push you. It should be a challenge. But let's pick goals that are within our ability to attain. So in other words, in the next 50 days, if you say, hey, I want to lose 100 pounds, that's probably not attainable. I don't think any of you need to do that, but that's probably not attainable. Anyway, next one here. Exercise 3 times per week for at least 30 minutes a day. If that's a goal you would like to make in the next 50 days, you're committing your next 50 days to doing this, then check that box. Maybe it's drinking more water, 8 glasses a day. Or maybe there's something there that you wanna make a goal that is not listed there. You know, maybe you have a running goal. Maybe you want to run 10 miles by February 20. You know, maybe that's where you're at. Or maybe you're in pretty good physical shape and you want to be able to bench press your body weight. You know, go ahead and write that. Whatever you think is your next physical or relational or whatever it is, health goal that you would like to make, I want to encourage you to write it in. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I want to think about this a little bit. Just comment on that. Just pick a goal. Just pick a goal. And if you change your mind, and if you get a better idea later, then go ahead and modify your goal. But I want to encourage each one of you to pick a goal. Right? Matter of fact, if you would permit me, I would like for you to turn to the person next to you and say what goal you think you're going to choose. Go ahead and do that right now, just for a second. Just tell the person next to you what is the goal that will take your fitness to the next level that you want to be all about in the next 50 days. What goal would you like to be all about? Okay. Okay, very good, very good. All right, so go ahead and check one or write one in here. This is what we're going to be about for the next 50 days. And we're doing this as a group, as a church family, so you don't want to miss any of the sermons coming up for the next 50 days. This is going to be a life-changing experience for everybody who partners up with God's Spirit. I mean, this is who we're partnering up with. God is all-powerful. He is able to empower us to do what is right. And one of the big ways He does it is through healthy thinking, knowing who you are. You are the precious child of God. And as a result of your value, we can take care of our bodies. Okay, each week, we're going to be giving you different health challenges. You'll have different health challenges each week. One of the most difficult challenges for some is going to be the challenge that I'm laying out to you today. This may very well be, for some, the most difficult challenge of the entire 7 weeks. Here's the challenge. Team up. Team up. I challenge you to take this health goal and not to try and do it on your own, but to team up with somebody. Guys with guys, ladies with ladies. And I'm saying that it's going to be the most difficult one for some of you because I'm a guy and I know how I think. I can do this all by myself. Got this. Tell you what, if we're going to really value what Jesus did for us, we need the help of other people. Guys, we need the help of other people. So I'm going to challenge you to team up. This is what it means. It doesn't mean you have to hold hands, guys. That's not what I'm saying. Right? In fact, I would recommend not doing that, okay? But this is what it means. It means to team up means to connect with at least one other person once a week. So that means you can text message, you can call, you can get together for lunch, but just connect at least one time during the week. That's it. That in itself is powerful enough to help you to do things that you never could do on your own. Connect just one time. If you're up for this challenge, team up and connect just one time with one other person each week for the next 7 weeks, for the next 50 days. And when you connect with them, simply ask, how are you doing with your goal? That's it. How are you doing with your goal? And I would encourage you to not give advice. Avoid advice. Just listen. I mean, we all have our issues. Who am I to give you advice, okay? Listen, encourage them, and the last thing here is to pray for each other. If you feel comfortable praying together, go ahead and do it. Pray over the phone, get together and pray. That's fantastic, but at least pray for each other in your own private time with God each day. That's the health challenge for this week. How many of you are up for that health challenge? This is a powerful thing to do. God has called us together as a church family to support each other. It's not so that we could all sit here as individuals and struggle alone as individuals. God has called us to empower one another and to remind each other of our value. And when we know our worth, we'll be able to make healthy choices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to lift up all of these little yellow papers in this room that have marks on them, or are about to have marks on them, goals that we see we need to have in order to live a healthy life. We need to achieve these goals, God. And God, if we don't have it quite right, I pray that you would impress us and show us what goal you want for us to have. But God, we thank you for this opportunity to support one another. And I pray, God, that you would remind us of this challenge this week. I pray that each one that raised their hand would be willing to meet with, to pull somebody aside after church today and say, hey, would you like to team up with me? I pray, God, that throughout this week, if we have chosen today, that we would reach out to someone here in this congregation. Would you team up with me in this health goal? Father, we thank you for the value that you place upon us. We want to honor that value. We recognize that we're weak. We thank you that you are strong. And we thank you for the support system that we have in each other. In Jesus' name, amen. As you go from here, may the God who looked upon you and said, yes, you are worth the priceless life of my son, may he remind you of your value each day. When you're tempted to go back and make some unhealthy choice, may you be reminded of how much you are worth. God bless you.